Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. It's Sunday, October the 26th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. It's good to be with you today. We're going to be going to church today. Many of you are going to be live and in person. Others of you will be live and online. If you can go, I encourage you to go. But if you can, I understand. That's one of the blessings of the online church. And if you don't have an online church, I'd love you to come to Gillette today. We'll be meeting, turning up there at the Gillette Methodist Church at 10:30 this morning. You can find us, Gillette Methodist Church, on YouTube or on Facebook, and we'll be shooting both barrels, bringing it all we got, which doesn't surprise you. But anyway, we got work to do to get ready, right? I always call Sunday practice. Big games Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And on Sunday morning wake-up call, we're practicing for practice. This is our stretching, okay? So, let's start with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see that I'm coming still live from Franklin, Tennessee, Seedbeds Global International headquarters at 415 Bridge Street. I will be back in time for church on Sunday. You know, we have to do this. I wish we could do them live, but we can't. My team says it's just not possible. I'm like, guys, have you heard of the news? It's live every day. But this isn't their only job, okay? So, and they're doing a great job to get it out. Our entry today, it's The Little Things, Part 1. I'll add a little bit of a subtitle, Why the Titanic Sank. How about that? Our text, we're in Luke chapter 12 today, opens with a stinger. Verses 1 through 3, we'll read together, Hear now the word of the Lord. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on housetops. The word of the Lord. Sounds like so many scandals, doesn't it? I was going to say preacher scandals, and it's true, and politician scandals, and there's many, many, many more scandals that don't even make the news, but they're equally devastating. So now consider this. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. They called it the unsinkable ship. The once famous, now infamous, Titanic, the largest ship in the world at its launch, and the most luxurious, left port on April the 10th, 1912. A short 5 luxurious days later, it lay at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, leaving more than 1,500 souls lost at sea. By all appearances, the ship was among the most impressive structures ever built on sea or land. Everything was state-of-the-art, first of its kind, best in class. For its maiden and final voyage, it boasted a passenger list made up of the wealthiest, most famous, and important people in the world. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For the next 86 years, the official story was the ship hit an iceberg which tore a massive gash in the starboard side, causing it to take on water at a rapid rate. Less than 3 hours later, the ship disappeared under the surface of the frigid Atlantic. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. In 1998, Tim Folk, a metallurgist at the National Institute of Standards and Technology, uncovered the real reason the Titanic sank. As they examined the high-resolution video and images of the sunken ship, they could not find the large breach allegedly caused by the iceberg. Instead, they found only 6 small, thin tears in the metal, with a combined damage to 1 square meter of the side, pretty small, which could not possibly explain the catastrophic failure of the ship. As Tim continued the search, he uncovered the secret flaw of the doomed ship. It turns out the fatal flaw of the mighty Titanic were its tiniest pieces, the rivets. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. As they recovered and studied a sample of the 3 million rivets that literally held the ship together, they made a devastating discovery. The wrought iron in the rivets contained 3 times the allowable amount of slag. Slag is the glassy residue left behind after the smelting of the iron ore. When combined with the icy water of the North Atlantic, the slag made the rivets brittle. And when the ship abruptly crashed into the iceberg, the heads of the brittle rivets around and adjacent to the impact zone broke off, allowing water to rush in through the once riveted, now separated hull plates of the ship. And from there, it was like a domino tipping chain reaction, leading to the sinking of the unsinkable ship. The rivets. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. It turns out they were behind schedule on construction, and rather than tell the truth and delay the departure, they sped up production, turning up the furnaces of the smelters, overheating the iron, concentrating the increased measures of slag in the heads of the rivets. And now you know the rest of the story. As much as I want to make all the riveting connections between this story, today's text, and most importantly, our lives, I'm going to do you a favor and leave this essential work with you. I'll just say it's the little things and leave you with this. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Oh, I already hear some of the Sunday school classes that are reading the wake-up call through the Gospels. I've heard about you. I hear this conversation already going. Everybody's going to want to come up to bat on this one. It's the little things, isn't it? It's the leaven, right? That's yeast. That's almost imperceptible. It's like rivets, isn't it? Okay, I know. I said I'm going to let you make the connections. I like to try to finish a little earlier on Sunday because I know some of you got some work to do to get ready, get suited up. I mean, I just think about the connection of between the Titanic and, let's just say, the temple. There's an interesting one. I'm stopping. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that in the face of the largest crowds, you choose to focus on the smallest things, like the leaven. Like the yeast. Thank you for calling us to surface the hidden things in our lives that threaten to undo us. Come, Holy Spirit, and search the ship of our lives, exposing the hidden hypocrisy and the unseen fatal flaws, and re-rivet our lives together by the power of the unshakable, unsinkable Word of God. It will be for your glory, for others' gain, and for our good. And in your name, Jesus, amen. Journal prompt. So what all are you seeing and connecting in this modern-day true story parable as it relates to the ancient yet never antiquated words of Jesus? Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware the yeast of the Pharisees. He says it several times. And I wonder how might this be connecting to the rivets in your deepest soul? We are going to sing today. I just feel like it's a moment to just dial into what we're praying. I want to sing this little chorus. You probably know it by heart. Spirit of the Living God. It's 299. And then I just want to follow that with a chorus from, 25 years ago. Called Give Us Clean Hands. I'll repeat those words before we sing it. I don't have them. They're not in our hymnal, but they're powerful. It's kind of a Search Me, O God song, which is what we're going for today. But, you know, the other thing I will say, I thought it was very interesting how Luke, right at the beginning of the chapter, chapter 12, he tells us there were so many thousands of the people that they had gathered together, that there were so many, they were trampling one another. It feels like it's almost the peak of the move, the peak of, like, attention to Jesus. And it says, he began to say to his disciples first. It's almost like he's pulling them aside and saying, guys, don't let that go to your head. Don't try to make something out of this massive crowd. Don't think that you're the bee's knees here. That's where he says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. It's like the bigger the show gets, the more you're going to be tempted to hide the truth for fear that, you know, they're going to find you out, that you're an imposter, that you're a fraud, that you're a fake. He's like, just bring that out. Just get it out now. Bring it to me where it can be dealt with in the light, because if you don't, the day is going to come when what's hidden will be revealed. Okay, I'm stopping. That's why it's so important. You know, Jesus is always telling us that judgment is coming. It's coming. It's coming. But the beautiful thing is that mercy is actually here. Mercy is here. It is himself. And he's like, just tell the truth. Just keep it real. Be honest. Don't try to be something you're not. If you feel like there's a flaw at the core of your being, just say so. Bring it out. This is why we have bands, banded discipleship, creating the space for telling the truth to people who love you and who will love you through it and beyond it. That's what we need most, guys. I mean, the world has turned away because of hypocrisy, lying, trying to appear better than we are. I know I got to stop. We got to sing. You ready? Let's just sing prayer this morning. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Just open your hands. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And there's this song I told you about. It says, we bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh, Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. O God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face, O God of Jacob. You ready? Just try to go with me on that. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. So give us clean hands. And give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. And oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face, O God of Jacob. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Amen. That's our song and our prayer today, isn't it? You know, it's just, life can get very complicated, but it always can get back to real simple, real quick. If we take a song like that to our heart unto the Lord, not just singing the words with our lips, but letting the words become embraced and expressed by our hearts. We need better rivets. And we know the rivet, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Hey, I'll see you at the house today. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walton.